wake on up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, a lot's happening right now. Giants, they're free-falling like Tom Petty. You lose to the Marlins. Oh, hold on. Let me back up. You get swept by the Miami Marlins. You lose to one of the worst teams I've ever seen in my life in a two-year stretch. You lose the series in the south side of Chicago. Not the Cubbies, no. The White Sox. You stink. Your two highest-paid players are stinking it up right now at the plate. Adames and Devers. Your pitching staff is doing all they can, at least the starters are, because Ryan Walker, he's leaking oil. Eric Miller, he's leaking oil. You couldn't pitch Tyler Rogers. Randy Rodriguez didn't pitch yesterday. Camilo Duvall, not sure. So that's happening. We got the NBA free agency period starting today at 3 o'clock West Coast time. I say good morning to you, Joe, Sam, Carter, all you lovely people. Hope you have a lovely weekend. Hope you have an awesome week. It is 4th of July week here. A lot of people are traveling. If you're hitting us up on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, we greatly appreciate it. So that's happening right now. NBA trades, all this sort of stuff's happening. LeBron wants to go elsewhere. We'll see. Could he be on the move? I mean, it's crazy in its own right. And by the way, we just had this trade fall into our laps in the NFL, Joe. Check this out. The Miami Dolphins have agreed to trade three-time All-Pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for three-time All-Pro safety Minka Fitzpatrick? What? Didn't he start his career as a Dolphin? He's going back and forth?
He played for Brian Flores?
He did. Brian Flores. So look at that.
His first ever game as a Steeler was against the Niners. I think week three.
So as part of the trade, Ramsey will get a $1.5 million raise this season, bringing his 2025 compensation to $26.6 million, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday. So, wow. The Steelers, who, by the way, signed Darius Slay Jr., they've obviously already gotten Aaron Rodgers. They got DK Metcalf. They traded Pickens. Well, all right. Well, we'll see how it works in that division. I'm still taking either the Ravens or the Bengals over them, I think. But Mike Tomlin, good luck is all I'm going to say. So there's a lot happening in the sports world.
Trade.
We got Rob Brenly joining us at 24, former Giants player, former manager for the Arizona Diamondbacks as well, as we're talking about free falling for the Gigantes.
You know, people like, you guys do hot takes. And we get that a lot from people. I'm like, no, I give you my opinions and how I'm feeling and how I feel. Like, you know, last summer was like, bring in LeBron. And how I feel today is like, I want no part of LeBron, right? These are opinions. These are how I feel. I'm in the opinion business.
You're in the pivoting, not panic business. How about that?
I feel like my opinion is that the Miami Dolphins might be a top five pick team this year, as in they're going to be stinky. I really do. I think they're going to be awful. But that's neither here nor there. I do have a strong opinion about this week. Now, I've long been on the record as saying that Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays of all time. For the variety of food and what it signifies and football and just everything about it, the pomp and circumstance of Thanksgiving. You know, you got television all day. You're eating all day. I think turkey. I love turkey. I can eat turkey every day. I love turkey sandwiches. But it can be a gauntlet, family-wise. You're together, you're inside. Usually the weather's not great outside. I love Thanksgiving. And usually it's right around my birthday. So, you know, it can be reflective is the way I would put it. I can reflect at that time. But at other times, I also feel old and, like, unaccomplished, you know. And
what is going on here? What are you getting at?
Here's where I'm going. My opinion. And this is a strong take. I think 4th of July is the best holiday of them all. And here's where I'm going to stand on business, as they like to say.
Town business?
Number one, who doesn't like barbecue? You can put whatever you want. You don't like meat? Fine. I'll do some corn on the cob. We can do it. I'll get some foil. We'll put some zucchini and a bunch of other onions and bell peppers and this. I'll cook it right on the grill for you.
The fake meat that they got, the Beyond Meat. Do that. Sure. Season up.
Whatever. You like seafood? We can cook some seafood. You like sausage? Let's do it. Let's throw the kielbasa on the grill.
I am a sausage guy.
All right? There is something about the smell of a barbecue grill on 4th of July when the weather is beautiful and hot that you all know. You can taste it right now as I'm talking about it. 4th of July is the best of the holidays. You get a day off of work, right? It's a federal holiday, right? And usually it lands in the middle of the week because there's only two weekend days. And so if you just roll the dice, 5 out of 7 of those days are going to be during the week. So if it breaks up a week like it does this year, you could turn it into a stretch 4 or a stretch 5 or a stretch 6. And usually you could feel it coming a mile away and you end up taking what I call a mail-in Monday like today is.
What?
For the whole week. This is one of the least productive work weeks of the year. There's something about the weather being beautiful. I would say for 90% of the country, San Francisco notwithstanding.
A foggy morning.
As I was in Novato and it was 85 degrees yesterday, and then I drove back to San Francisco and it was 56. For the majority of the country, the weather is unbelievable. I signify 4th of July with people being on the lake, being on the river, swimming in the ocean, swimming in a pool, being in the backyard, playing golf.
Going to the Alameda County Fair.
There you go, right? 4th of July is the best holiday. It's not even close. It's not even close.
Or do you go to a wedding like Jeff Bezos had over the weekend?
Screw Jeff Bezos. If you plan a wedding and you put it during 4th of July, you're a selfish human being. All right?
Really?
Yeah, you are. I've told you this, guys, before. If you schedule a wedding during that time.
This is a week.
No, you said that about Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Don't suck up my Memorial Day or Labor Day. Or 4th of July. All right? 4th of July is the best holiday of them all. It just is. And
is there a holiday you don't like, real quick? Is there a holiday? No, seriously, I'm asking.
I think Christmas tends to be.
Okay.
No, just hear me out on this.
I'm not hearing you out on this. If you're about to say Christmas sucks, you can get out.
No, it's not that it sucks. Leave. I just think that with Christmas comes like sadness for some people. And I think with Christmas comes like maybe, you know, you're thinking about loved ones or lost ones or maybe things that you don't have. You can't afford certain things. There tends to be this, you know, financial burden of Christmas that as I get older, the more I understand it. It just sucks. And I think that you feel that. And as I watch all these kids opening all these gifts at Christmas, I'm like, dude, this is too much. This is too much. Like you're
missing the spirit of it. You need to get that captured back. No, you need to have an Ebenezer Scrooge moment. The Shasky ghost of Christmas past, present, and future need to visit you.
But here's the beauty of 4th of July. There is no real obligation to do the gauntlet of the family thing. Like you can kind of like spin off and do your own thing and you can create your own traditions. And so that is kind of fun. Right? It is. Like, hey, what are you doing for 4th of July? We're going to Tahoe. We're going to the river. We're going to the Alameda County Fair. We're going. Little Buster has a baseball tournament in Modesto. Like, wherever you're going, it's fun. I love the 4th of July. I love America. I don't think it's perfect. Trust me, I see all of its warts. I'm well aware. I love America. I love what it's given me, the freedom to be able to talk on the radio. And I am unabashedly going to say the number one best holiday on the calendar, without a doubt, is the 4th of July.
Yeah. I hate fireworks. Living in Oakland for all these years now has made me hate them even more so than I did before. I swear to God. It's a damn war zone every single night in my neck of the woods. I'm sure it is here in San Francisco,
You don't have
too.
To partake.
Yeah. No, I'm forced to partake.
No, you have to hear
off.
Them. They're all over the place.
So? It's annoying.
Get
I'm
drunk
done.
And fall asleep.
Oh, get this drink. Thank you.
That's what 4th of July is. One of the
Hear that, kids?
Of
it's too loud. Just
you're
drink.
Not doing it.
I don't even drink.
Exactly. I'm going to say you're so full. You know
That's
what?
How much I love 4th of July. Stop. A guy who doesn't drink can enjoy it.
I mean, bring it on, man.
I mean, watching
bring
this Giants
all the
offense.
Content.
Watching this Giants offense is going to make me drink.
I
want to
see bald eagles flying on lakes. I want to see dudes wearing, like, 4th of July outfits, like, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 4th of July is badass. What are we talking about? I'm bringing it back.
You're bringing it back? Has it ever gone? I like the holiday off. That's what I'll say. Actually, more into Valentine's.
You really don't
Valentine's
like 4th of
Day
July?
Is honestly, Valentine's Day is better than 4th of July. I'll say that.
Stop! It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Maybe for you.
It's one of the dumbest things.
I get action on Valentine's
Day. That's a horrible time.
Valentine's Day, far superior. than 4th
Carter,
of July.
He's out here telling lies at this
point. I'm not.
We'll get back into the Giants.
Do you scrub
I
your feet on Valentine's Day?
I have someone
it's
else,
the one day a
I
year.
I have someone else scrub my feet on Valentine's Day.
All right,
that?
Now I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance to get the dealer. We're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Rochester, Liberty, San Francisco. Former manager and former San Francisco Giant, Bob Brenly, joining us in about 15 minutes. We'll ask him about 4th of July if he has any 4th of July plans. Well, I know he's going to be calling games for the Diamondbacks, but what does he like to do for 4th of July? I wonder, because for baseball players, it's like, aren't you almost like playing on it all the time? You got the red, white, and blue gear. It's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
I think of the Sandlot, right? You think of that. It's
hell
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think of that. Yeah.
The one time we got to play a night game.
There you go, because it's all the fireworks lighting up the sky.
You really don't like 4th of July?
Whatever. I don't like fireworks in general.
Why? It doesn't have to be fireworks. You don't like jet skis? You don't like beach chairs?
You got those two jet skis in your place. Like, how can you not take those bad boys out?
True. My studio apartment in Oakland. It's great.
Like, yeah. I want to see AI videos of, like, bald eagles doing jet skis off of, like, you know, Evil Knievel jumps and things like that. I love all that stuff. You really don't? You're not a big 4th of July guy?
Whatever. I like celebrating our independence, I guess.
It's just about being an American, an unabashed American.
What is being an American to Joe Shasky? What is it? What is it for you? Cooking
just
the meats?
Just having fun and being, like, grateful that we've got the freedoms that we do and just enjoying it.
Now I hear you.
You don't like barbecuing?
I do love barbecuing. Can I come over
Doesn't
to your place
sound
to do
like it?
Well, it's just I have nowhere to do it. I have nowhere to do it. Am I going to go hang out with you and do it? You can invite me over?
No.
Oh, thank you. So Fourth of July
is about togetherness.
That's what he said. It's about getting together with the family, except for you guys.
Well, you guys aren't family.
But you say you don't want to hang out with your family.
Yeah, I don't have to. No, I don't
I thought we were
to.
Your radio family.
I feel like you just want to hang out at the cabin by yourself this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, no, we got it. We might have a full cabin.
Of family.
Of people.
It's like Olive Garden when you hear your family with Joe Shasky.
How is this a controversial opinion? A 4th of July is goated.
It's overrated.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is an overrated holiday.
Spadoni. I mean, this is nuts.
I think Valentine's Day is far superior, personally.
I don't.
You guys want to hear what Americans have to say their favorite holidays are?
Yeah.
All right, so this is part of a YouGov poll from last year.
I mean, Christmas is dominating.
Yes, Christmas comes in first at 36%. Do we want game show music this one?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I liken 4th of July to, like, hockey. It's like it's a niche thing. It's like if we're comparing, like, Thanksgiving is probably NBA. You got Christmas being the NFL, Major League Baseball. Yeah, Major League Baseball is probably going to be what? Like Memorial Day or Labor Day or something like that. Yeah.
You know what this proves to me? Spadoni has no friends. Like, because this a man with a full life of friends would look forward to the 4th of July.
It's a little harsh to
left
say.
And right.
That's fine. I have my family. I got 9 brothers and sisters.
Spadoni's my friend.
I actually have
got
too
at least
many,
one friend.
I have too many siblings and nieces.
You should go to Ken's backyard and barbecue.
I was at Ken's backyard.
I was. You're the only one because you're not friends with anyone here at the station.
Because I'm getting ready for the 4th of July by cleaning up my cabin.
This was 3 weeks ago. So I'm just letting you know that.
That's a lot of cleaning he's got to do at the cabin.
I have to clean up 3 weeks prior to there so I can't hang out with anyone. There you go.
To the party that I wanted to be invited to but wasn't going to go to.
I think the host that came through, afternoon host didn't show up. Will and Dibbs didn't come. Shasky didn't come. Steiny, Goo, and myself showed up. There you go.
I can't believe
we're
you
not going to talk
like
about
fireworks,
this.
You don't like fireworks?
No.
When we go to the river, like they have the fireworks on the river, there's something like, hey, you got to get a good spot, right? You got to bring the blankie and everyone's chilling. Like, there's something about campfires and s'mores and fireworks. Really?
I grew up hating camping, by the way. I hated camping.
I'm not huge on camping, I also realize it's...
You guys are glampers, aren't you? Glamorous camping.
I grew up on the coast near a beach. Yeah, miss me with all of that. It's cold as hell.
I grew up in civilization, too. I went camping plenty of times.
Why?
Because I liked it.
Why? What do you like about it?
I like being in the outdoors.
Why?
Because it's the outdoors. It's nature. It's the world.
When you live in the city, it's nice to get a little break.
No, it's not.
And to be in the trees. You don't.
Awful.
I disagree. When I drive down River Road, I feel like my soul gets a rebirth as I'm going. And it's like going into a whole nother realm, and mentally it just resets me up for coming
back
to the city.
I'd rather have the smog of the city. That actually gives me more life. I'll inhale that any day of the week than all that carbon, whatever, footprint crap you got out in the redwoods.
What we don't have are fireworks with the Giants bats.
Thank you. And Sam in San Leandro wants to talk about, we're going to call it Sam Leandro going forward. How about that, Sammy? Good morning. You want to talk about the Gigantes?
Oh, very much so. I need 2 cups of Joe. and the Giants are free falling, just like you say, Tom Petty is in the house because Buster Posey had his hands all over the Matt Chapman deal at $150 million. He got Willie Adames at a 7-year, $187 million. Full no-trade clause, $22 million signing bonus. Now you got Rafael Devers at $300 million. And he gave Justin Verlander $15 million. It's really incredible. And he had Lamont Wade starting at first base leading off. This is brutal, and you know I hate to say it, but it's obvious Buster Posey does not need to, he should not be the president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants. They need to go get the Warriors president to come over.
Okay,
to
are
the
you
Giants
serious?
No, let him finish.
I can't tell. Are you
let him
serious?
Finish. Sam,
are
continue. Sam, continue.
Let my man Schneider go over there, who I met, and I gave him my resume. I'm going to drop that name drop. Bloop. I met Schneider. He's a great guy. He started in the ticket office. Let him come over to the Giants. Buster Posey, go coach the hitters. If you don't want to do that, go raise your kids. You've been a great player. This is not for you. You bought your way in. You gave the GM job to your friend. You gave the pitching coach job to your friend. The hitting coach job to Viale. And it's just been a disaster. And all he's going to do is bring his best friend, Mark Hallberg, from Florida State Baseball, because that's where Buster Posey played baseball at. That's where I worked at. I've talked to him many times. It's on. He should have. I'm surprised he didn't bring in Hallberg this year.
Sam, I love you. I love the commitment to the bit. By the way, he's
lost me at Florida State.
Brandon Schneider, president and chief operating officer. I guess he sent in a resume to Brandon Schneider. That's of the Warriors.
What does that resume entail?
Well, I'm just saying, he's the Larry Bear of the Warriors. Like, what does that translate to? What?
Also, if you're going to send your resume to someone, try and say their name correctly, too.
I don't want to send the resume here. I kind of want to work with
Schneider.
Get another Sam in the building. Why not?
Is there heat on Buster? I mean, he made one of the best trades. I know, look, Devers, it's been a small period of time.
I'll say this right now.
Are we kidding? Like, are we serious?
There is zero heat on Buster Posey right now. If anything, the fall guy of the season is going to be Bob Melvin.
They've been more relevant this year than they have in the last, what, seven?
Sure. They've been relevant for what? How many weeks now? Two? Let's just keep it a buck.
Overall, this year, they've been way more relevant than they have since 2021.
Sure.
Not even close.
That's also not saying that much, in fairness. Like, the team has just been so just bleh that fans just haven't cared.
Joe.
And if they keep losing like they're losing, I do think it's going to go back to, meh, that was a cool couple weeks, right? And then it's just, I don't care.
Maybe. But, like, Joe, I know how this market works. And right now, what we would have been doing for the last 2 months is breaking down every single roster spot for the Golden State Warriors.
We're 2 weeks away if the Giants sucking for doing that again.
That might be the case.
Yeah.
But it's still been more months of talking Giants baseball than the last five.
Sure. But we're in danger now of this team slumping heavily. All the injuries are spouting up. You don't know when Matt Chapman's coming back. Casey Schmidt, all of a sudden, who's just a major focal point of this offense, which is crazy to say, on June 30th, he's getting an MRI done. Devers, your big acquisition a couple weeks ago, struggling. Willie Adames, who was once your highest paid player in the history of the franchise just a few months ago, struggling. Jung-Hoo Lee, another guy that's one of your highest paid players, struggling. Wilmer Flores, who all of a sudden was your clutch bat, he doesn't have the space to play on this team. Like, they're a couple weeks away. If they lose the series 3 out of 4 to the D-backs, and then all of a sudden they lose a series to the A's, I'm sorry. Heading into that homestand against the Phillies and Dodgers, good luck.
But what did you think they were heading into the year?
I thought they were going to contend for a wild card spot, potentially.
Well, they're still contending.
Are they?
Yeah, right now they are, yes. And so, like, even if they, let's just say they go 500 right now until the end of the break, they're going to be right there. They're still within striking distance.
I don't think that's going to be good enough. Brewers 10 games over, Mets 11 games over, and you got the Cardinals, they're red hot. They're about to be 10 games over 500, too. The Giants are scuffling right now, man.
If I tell you mid-July, you're within a series or two of everyone else for that wild card spot, you'll take it.
Sure, but that was the Giants the last couple of years, too, right? Couldn't have I said the same thing? They're a series or two from
being
right
there. This has looked different. They had, you know, so many different combinations of lineups. At least I know who the guys are that are going to be out there.
I guess the starting pitching is the only thing that really feels different right now. The offensive feels the same.
They have Rafi Devers. That's better than anything that they've had before.
Yeah, but this version of Rafi Devers isn't the version I want. That's the problem. Can I get the Boston Red Sox version? Let's talk about it for a second, Joe. When you thought, they were getting Rafi Devers. Did you think he was going to have a Jimmy Butler-like effect on this team?
No, because baseball is different. But it also, I'm already seeing, like, Adames has been better since Devers came in. There's no arguing. He's gotten better pitches to see. Other guys in the lineup have gotten better pitches to see because of Devers. And we could go through every single at-bat. I could point to you how he affects a game, even when he is swinging it at junk away and not trying to put the ball the other way. I think Devers has been fine. He needs to be a better version of himself. But what he does every day on a lineup, you can already see that he's contributing.
You know, I think Buster Posey's has brought some cojones to this organization. I really do. Swinging for the fences.
There's
with
a
the
sense
Adames
of urgency.
Thing. No, swing for the fences there. Getting Devers, if he triples down and does some other really big trade, I don't even know how he can do that.
Well, they're going to have to.
Like, what would that look like for you?
I don't know.
888-957-9570. Does this team need to make another big trade right now? Is that what's going to cure their ailments? What could Bob Melvin do right now? That's kind of my question. We're going to talk to Bob Brenly.
I think accountability.
In 6 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to ask him, like, what can you do in this situation right now where the bats are struggling, the pitching feels like they're throwing on fumes in the bullpen, the starters, they're giving you all they can. Flip the spread? I don't know. He tried to get thrown out. Like, what comes off is weak, and this happened the other week against the Marlins. Like, you're throwing out the third batter.
Well, I hated that.
Especially
the young guy doing it when he's already in a precarious spot in terms of confidence. I didn't like it at all.
Right. Like, and he struggled now in back-to-back starts here with Hayden Birdsong. Like,
since that moment, it feels like they've just been so out of it offensively, and just they have not been in rhythm. But look, baseball is very infectious, so all it takes is one guy get hot, and the next thing you know, that whole lineup feels totally different. Arizona might just be the best hitter's location for them to get right. Now, I thought that about Colorado, and it hasn't translated.
I thought that against the White Sox, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, you know, the games they played were tight games. They just didn't hit at all.
We got Logan Webb on the bump tonight, so if you need that guy to stop the skid, he is the guy to do that. 2.52 ERA this year. He has been unbelievable going up against Ryan Nelson of the D-backs. Then you got Birdsong versus Gallen. That should be a
Gallen's fun. Got like a 5 ERA.
Dude, he's got like a 6.
Is that, is
it's 5.75. It's almost at a 6. He's been struggling this year. But of course, right, when things are going bad, it's the guys that are struggling that shove against you, right? And Zach Gallen has had his way in the past against the Gigantes, has he not?
Yeah, the guy yesterday, I mean, he's been terrible. The pitcher yesterday has been terrible, and he was awesome.
Right. So we'll talk about this with Bob Brenly, who's a broadcaster with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Obviously, he managed, and part of his managing staff once upon a time in 01 was Bob Melvin. He also played with Bob Melvin as a San Francisco Giant. So Bob Brenly knows him very, very well. We'll get into that on the other side, and it's going to be brought to you by Sarah Monty Ford. Current broadcaster for the team, and obviously, Joe, as you know, you watched some Bob Brenly growing up as a San Francisco Giant, did you not?
Yes, I did.
What do you remember about Bob Brenly, the player?
I mean, there's a million things, but there's famously he played third base and had a bunch of errors and then came and hit a game-winning home run to win the game. It was one of the all-time moments for many, many Giants. And I believe he was the catcher on the final day of the year, 1982. Bill Lasky starting against Fernando Valenzuela, where Joe Morgan hit the home run to knock the Dodgers out of the playoffs.
Well, let's ask Bob about that day. Hey, Bob, good morning. You're on with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. Do you remember that game?
I vaguely remember scoring on Joe Morgan's home run and jumping up and down at home plate like an idiot. But, you know, anytime you beat the Dodgers back then, it was worth celebrating.
Still now, as Bob Brenly is joining us on the River Islands guest line, former World Series champion manager with the Arizona Diamondbacks and current broadcaster with the team as the Giants start a 4-game set in the desert starting today. And both of these teams, Bob, as I say good morning to you, are struggling mightily. Obviously, the D-backs without their best player, Corbin Carroll, dealing with that wrist fracture there. We'll see when he comes back. And they've lost 4 in a row all of a sudden. The red-hot Miami Marlins just cleaning up the NL West right now when it comes to the Giants and then the D-backs. I don't know who saw that coming. But what have you made of this orange and black team this year, Bob? Obviously make the big deal for Devers in the offseason. They bring in Adames. They re-sign Matt Chapman. Justin Verlander joins this team. They're scuffling as of late right now. But what do you make of this team so far heading into July?
Well, you know, just looking at it from the outside, I wouldn't be overly concerned if I was a Giants fan. I know they're not scoring a lot of runs. I know they're not getting a lot of base runners, but damn, you got a pitching staff that can keep the other team from scoring. And in today's game, that's what it's all about, keeping runs off the board. And I know this four-game series, we're going to get four of your best, and runs are going to be hard to come by, even though the Diamondbacks might be one of the best offensive teams in baseball. They slug. They have the ability to steal bases and manufacture runs if they choose to do so, but they just can't keep the other team off the board, especially the bullpen right now. It's just in tatters.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, Bob, the Giants are looking at themselves, and there's just a lot of frustration. You know, Adames and Jung-Hoo Lee, they're failing to try to, like, go the other way and make adjustments. From somebody who was a player, was a part of many staffs, and understands the modern game the way it is now, a lot of Giants fans they're basically saying, hey, get Pat Burrell out of here. He's the hitting coach. And get Matt Williams out of here. And I'm like, guys, if you don't think that they're sitting down with these highly paid players and saying, guys, you got to adjust. But it is up to the players. Like, break it down when you're part of the staff and working with these guys that are on big mega deals and how difficult it is to maybe get them to change their approach at the plate.
Well, that's a hard thing to do, you know, especially for guys who have had success their entire career. Wherever they've been, they've probably been the best hitter on the team. And, you know, you get to the big leagues and it's a whole different animal. I've seen a lot of really, really good minor league hitters carrying a lunch bucket very quickly after they got to the big leagues because the pitching is that much better. You know, as far as getting rid of coaches, I think unless there's some kind of an egregious error taking place, like down in Atlanta, they decided to change their third base coach because they were getting guys thrown out at home plate every day. But it is on the players. I mean, you can coach them up all you want. You can tell them all the right things to do. You can even tell them what pitches to look for in certain counts against certain pitchers. But if they can't execute when that time comes, that's on the player. That's not on a coach. I always felt bad for coaches that got fired mid-season because their team wasn't playing well. And, you know, they turn around and maybe hit a little bit better for the new coach, and all of a sudden he's the savior until they don't hit again, and then they want to fire that coach. So, yeah, I tend to put it on the player. I mean, coaching, real good coaching helps, good managing helps, but it's all on the player.
So how do you, in the modern era, how do you hold these guys accountable? Do you say something at a press conference? Do you have a closed-door meeting? Do you go individual? What's the best way to hold these guys accountable?
All of the above. you know, I think for me, the most important thing is getting guys to buy in. The success of the team is much more important than my individual success. If I can hit a ground ball to the right side of the infield and move that runner from second to third with one out in the inning, and my teammate behind me picks up the RBI, you know, that's team baseball. I'll give myself up. I'll sacrifice one of my at-bats here to move my teammate into scoring position for the teammate behind me. Once you get guys to buy into that team concept and, you know, maybe this isn't what I want to do right now, but it's what the team needs me to do. Once you get guys to buy into that theory, managing becomes much easier, coaching becomes much easier, and certainly winning becomes much easier.
You know, Bob, we had a situation over the weekend for the Giants where there's runners on second and third. Yeah, Raffy Devers at the plate. There's no outs. And he's clearly your best hitter. And he swings and misses, essentially. And then they backpick and throw out the guy at third base who's way too far off the bag. What is it about the modern player and the base running mistakes that I'm seeing? It just feels like they're way more prevalent in the worst possible situations now than ever. Why is that?
Well, I think it's a lack of fundamentals being taught, not only at the minor league level, but going down to the college level. You know, there's such an emphasis on winning in the NCAA now that I don't know that players are solid fundamentally. I may sound like a, you know, back in my day guy, but we knew how to slide. You know, I see guys steal second base and go in head first and end up 10 feet past the bag and get tagged out. Who taught them to do that? You know, you're supposed to slide to the base and stop. Bunt defenses, defending the stolen base, all those little fundamentals that you used to be drilled on because that's what makes up winning baseball have fallen away to exit velocity and launch angle and, you know, the velocity on your fastball and how many rotations does your slider take on the way to the plate. all stuff that for me is basically unnecessary in teaching the fundamentals of the game.
Talking with Bob Brenly here on the Morning Roast, former Diamondbacks manager, current broadcaster with the team, and obviously former orange and black catcher here in San Francisco, and teammates with Bob Melvin. You also, Bob Melvin was the bench coach on your staff when you won that World Series back in 01, Bob. And I want to talk to you about it because I'm assuming you know him pretty well, being a teammate and him being a part of your staff. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's very fair to say. He's one of my best friends ever.
What would you say are the strengths of Bob Melvin as a manager?
Well, I'll tell you, the X's and O's of the game, he's on top of all of that. I mean, there's always a reason for everything he does, and it's not just based on his gut instinct. He does use his gut instinct an awful lot, but it's based on things that he's gathered from his scouting reports, things that he's gathered from the video, things that he's gathered from watching games, watching other teams, and picking up little things here and there. And he doesn't miss a thing. As a matter of fact, while the Giants are in town here, we're going to hopefully do a little bit for our TV where Mel and I sit down and walk through the ninth inning of Game 7 of the 2001 World Series. I don't know how many fans out there saw it.
Of course. Luis Gonzalez. Yeah.
We didn't know if we had enough players to field a team at the end of that inning if the game stayed tied. I think we pinch ran two or three times. We pinch hit two or three times. And at one point, I turned to Mel and I said, Jesus, do we have enough players to field a team? But, I mean, it's Game 7 of the World Series. What are you going to do? Save somebody for tomorrow? You know, it was all hands on deck. And, boy, I'll tell you, the decisions were flying fast and furious in that dugout. But just to get back to your question, Mel is on top of things. Nothing escapes his gaze, and he fixes things quickly if it's within his power to fix it.
Yeah, Bob, thinking about that team, that 2001 team, like, we were all rooting for you guys to beat the Yankees. You were a Giant. Like, to me, you were a Giant, and you had Matty Williams, and there were a lot of guys that I rooted for on that team, even though you guys are in the West Division. It was one of the great upsets of all time.
It was David versus Goliath, Bob. Like, literally, Mariano Rivera, are you kidding me? The greatest closer in the history of the sport?
And a Texas leaguer wins it all.
Yeah, and Mariano Rivera, one of the best defensive pitchers in the history of the game, throws the ball away at second base. Scott Brosius decides not to go for a double play on a sacrifice bunt when it would have been an easy double play. Just a lot of things that happened weird, but they happened the way we needed them to happen.
Yeah. You know, Bob, now that we're going in the way back machine, first baseball I ever got was at Candlestick. It was a Chris Brown home run in the family pavilion. My dad made me run on down on a Wednesday afternoon, and you subbed in famously for Chris Brown at third base with the four-error game, and you hit two home runs, one of them being a walk-off. Are you sick and tired of that story from 86?
What do you think? Huh? I mean, other than winning a World Series, that's probably the highlight of my career. More people know me for that than anything else. So, you know, it kind of becomes part of your baseball DNA. And the fact that it ended well, I don't mind talking about it.
Do you like, because like when I see what the Giants are trying to build right now, Buster Posey at the helm, bringing in Bob Melvin, bringing back Matt Williams, you know, Will Clark's around the team now more than ever, Bond's around the team now more than ever. Do you, like, as somebody from afar, do you think that what the Giants are doing is a successful thing right now, bringing in the old school guys?
Personally, I do. I know there's differing opinions out there, but I think it's great. I remember back to my playing days when, geez, Willie Mays would show up for a week of spring training and put on a uniform and sit in the clubhouse and talk to us after workouts, and Willie McCovey and Mike McCormick, and just right down the line, Bob Lurie started to bring back some of the former Giants, some of the big name Giants, Hall of Fame Giants, and I thought it was great. Just to listen to Willie Mays tell stories in a clubhouse, sitting there in his underwear with his cleats still on, talking about things that he experienced during his career, most of them hilariously funny. That was invaluable. I think all of us that got to experience that back in the 80s will remember that forever.
You know, Bob, I think of you kind of as an old school guy. So I'm curious your reaction with what happened with Marte and the fan the other day. You know, I recently lost my dad a year and a half ago, and I try to tell people, like, unless you've been through it, you don't understand there are certain things that catch you off guard, and they just trigger you for whatever reason, and you just kind of lose your emotions. And I was defending Marte. Your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, you'd like to believe that fans would behave themselves a little better at the ballpark. I mean, I think the average fan would be absolutely mortified to hear some of the things that come out of the stands, especially in areas that are maybe away from the field mics, down in the bullpens. And I've heard an awful lot of bad stuff during the course of my career as a coach and a manager and a player, but that's not going to happen. People don't know how to behave themselves. Some people don't know how to behave themselves, and you get a belly full of beer, and all of a sudden, they're going to be a tough guy. It was unfortunate the way it happened. It was unfortunate Cattell couldn't get to the dugout or something to avoid, the spectacle that we saw out there on the field. But I don't know if there's an easy answer to the whole thing. You can say the players need to be more thick-skinned, but as you said, there are certain things that are triggering that hit a nerve within your family, and it's too bad that it has to happen, but I guarantee you this is not going to be the last time it happens.
No. Bob Brenly joining us here on the Morning Roast, former Diamondbacks manager, current broadcaster with the team, and obviously a former Giants catcher as well. And, hell, you had that player in Pittsburgh try to swing on a fan in the bullpen the other day. There's been a lot of craziness happen. Hell, World Series last year, Bob. A fan trying to just take the glove and ball away from Mookie Betts in the outfield. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, read the back of the ticket. It tells you what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do at a ball game. And, just behave. Be a human being. Put yourself in somebody else's spot for once in your life and think twice before you say something.
No, it's a great point. How do you see this NL West race shaping up here, Bob? Because obviously the Dodgers are the Dodgers. I mean, they're just so stacked offensively. They're 21 games over right now. I feel like they're going to run away with this thing. The Giants see them next week. You got the Padres, you got the Giants and D-backs all kind of muddled up together, just a couple games from each other. How do you see this thing shaking out the rest of the way?
Well, obviously I'm hoping the Diamondbacks do well because it makes my job a lot easier when they're winning than when they're losing. But, just looking at it from the outside, I like the Giants pitching. I mean, you can talk all you want about 500-foot home runs and exit velocity and all that stuff and scoring runs, but man, if you can't keep the other team from scoring, it doesn't matter. And the Giants, for me, have the strongest five-man rotation right now in the West, no doubt about it. And some of the guys in the bullpen seem like they're falling into their roles down there. And I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers, like you said, they're just stacked. They're loaded. If they need anything at the trade deadline, they'll just go out and, give up a few more prospects and get another all-star. That's what they do. But as far as the way the teams are organized and staffed right now, I think the Dodgers are one, the Giants are two, and the Diamondbacks and the Padres are going to be battling out for that third spot. And the other team's going to end up just ahead of the Rockies.
Well, it's funny you say that, Bob. Like, if you were to ask, it's funny because I love having like different like perspectives, right? You're heading into this series saying, like, wow, I got a lot of respect for what the Giants are doing. Sky's falling here this morning, Bob. You lose to the Marlins, you get swept by them, and you lose a series to the White Sox, who are the worst team record-wise in the American League. You'd think everything was gone wrong. We got the panic meter up for a lot of people here in the Bay right now.
Well, you can hold a mirror up to the Diamondbacks, and it's the same thing. They went on a long road trip to Toronto, Colorado, and the White Sox, and they came home 5-4 from that 9-game trip. But they were hanging their hat on the fact, well, we got the Marlins when we get home, and the Marlins just swept the Diamondbacks, too. So, I said it for years. It's not always who you play. It's when you play them. And right now, the Marlins are a scary team.
I mean, they crushed the Giants. They out-hit them 34-14 or whatever it was in that 3-game series. So, yeah, trust me, we're well aware of how well the Marlins were playing when they left San Francisco. What exactly is this team right now, the Diamondbacks? I know Corbin Carroll got injured. Zach Gallen is, like, having a very bad year just looking at the numbers, but you're watching this team every day. Who are the Giants facing over the next couple of days?
Well, I'll put it the way Torrey Lovello, the manager, does, a very inconsistent team. I mean, there are days they go out there and play airtight defense. Everything seems to fall into place. The starting pitcher gets you into the sixth inning and you can use your bullpen in an orderly fashion. When that happens, they're a really good team. Now, if they're not catching the ball, which they've been horrific at this year, I mean, this was the best defensive team in Major League Baseball last year, made the fewest errors, and they're going to blow right by that probably before the All-Star break. So the defense has been really shaky. The injuries have obviously hurt immensely. Gabby Moreno, our catcher, Josh Naylor, has been a day-to-day guy with a neck-shoulder thing. just right down the line, Marte was out for a month early in the season. People forget that. He's having an all-star first half, but he missed nearly a month of the season. So when you watch D-backs baseball, you better like offense, and you better be able to grit your teeth when the bullpen comes in.
Hey, Bob, from a managing perspective, when you get a big acquisition or a new player like the Giants did with Devers, it was a major shift, right, in tone in the organization, getting a player of that caliber. Yeah, all the stuff in the background with him and the Red Sox withstanding. He's had 12 games here now. He's batting .217. It's been a struggle offensively for him, and he's been a designated hitter the entire time as he's been working through a groin injury. How long does it take for a player, you know, in your experience, to, you know, kind of get their feet under them when they join a new team like this? And hell, a whole different league at that point.
Well, and I really thought Devers was going to hit the ground running, and he did that first game. I think he hit a double to the triples alley out there and had another base hit later in the game. And, you know, the fans were giving him a standing ovation every time he stood up in the dugout. So I thought it was going to be a very easy transition. But, you know, you got to keep in mind, it's you got to find a place to live. You got to find a place for your family. You got to find your way to the ballpark. Once you get to the ballpark, you have to find your way to the clubhouse. It's all new, and it's all kind of disorienting until you kind of get settled in. Off the subject, I had knee surgery last week, so I was laying in bed for a few days, and I was watching three baseball games a day, and I just watched some of the Giants games, and I did see Devers and Willy Adames spending a lot of time on the bench. It was obvious they weren't monkeying around. There were some serious conversations going on, and I think that'll help immensely, having another veteran who recently has come from another team maybe kind of relay his experiences and smooth over some of the speed bumps for Devers. But I saw a lot of that when I was watching the Giants games this past week.
Yeah, Bob, I you're such an old school guy, and you're just a baseball lifer. And I was curious, who's Bob Brenly's favorite baseball player in the modern day?
In the modern day?
Yeah, like right now. Like who's the guy you like to watch the most? Who's that guy for you?
Well, I would say probably Bobby Witt Jr. is either at the top of the list or damn close to the top of the list. And it's funny because Bobby Witt Sr. was a pitcher on my staff back in 2001, and I've got some pictures at home of Bobby Sr. holding Bobby Jr. and the World Series trophy, and the trophy was bigger than Bobby Jr. So that tells you how long ago that was, but he's a special player. There's nothing on the field that he can't do at the highest level, and he does it with enthusiasm and energy, and I love to watch him.
Well, don't let Corbin Carroll hear this. I thought he was going to be your favorite player, Bob. I'm kidding, of course. Hey, Bob, really good stuff this morning, man. Really big fan of
yours.
Always
have been.
And we'll be tuning in this week. Massive four-game series for both these teams.
Yes, indeed it is. I'll be there.
There he is. That is Bob Brenly, former Diamondbacks manager, current broadcaster for the Diamondbacks, former Giants catcher. Teammates with Bob Melvin, and Bob Melvin was on his staff. So he's got a lot of ties with this Giants organization, Joe, when it came to Bob Melvin. I did want to ask. He said Bob was one of his best friends, too.
It's very interesting.
And he was very, capes up for the guy, clearly.
Absolutely.
Right there.
You know, Bob Brenly is just old school, just straight up old school baseball. And that's the second person we've asked in a short period of time. I think the other one was, Jim Leland.
Jim Leland, yeah.
Who's your favorite player in the modern day? And they both said Bobby Witt Jr.
Bobby Witt, yeah.
I love that guy so much.
You do love you some Bobby Witt Jr., don't
yeah,
you?
I do. Well, I follow him on IG. I don't follow a lot of athletes, but I follow him on IG. I watched him play against the Giants a couple years ago, and I've just been intoxicated ever since.
Best shortstop in baseball right now. But he's the best shortstop that might not even start their All-Star game, which speaks to the season that Jacob Wilson, a guy who the Giants are going to be seeing this weekend as a rookie, right? So pretty incredible.
And then he brought up a lot of stuff. So he was talking about how it's on the players. It's on the players. It's on the players to adjust. And again, this is a guy who was a player, was a bench coach, was a manager, and has now been broadcasting the games for 15, 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think he's got pretty good perspective on these things. Yeah. And I agree with him. Like, we could argue about bench coaches, and we could argue about swing coaches, and we can argue about third base coaches. But at the end of the day, the players making huge money are the ones that are digging into the batter's box, and they're the ones that have to make adjustments. So I'm not saying that those hitting coaches and those batting coaches and third base coaches don't factor in. They wouldn't be employed, you know, if they weren't, you know, heavily scrutinized and very important. But like Jungle Lee is making a lot of money. Mm. Willy Adames is making a boatload of money. He's been in the bigs for quite some time.
Yeah.
He has got to adjust.
he said something there that I think most people agree on when it comes to this Giants pitching staff, that they're the best in the NL West. They might be one of the best in all of baseball, just top to bottom, what they've been able to do, earned run average, all of that. That being said, and maybe it's just the ballpark and Giants fans in general, and we're just used to it, but had the roles been reversed, Joe, and it's the pitching that had been bad and the bats that have been amazing, you think it'd be like shifting our mindset how we're viewing this season?
Yeah, it would. It would feel different because I think when I put out a tweet yesterday, hey, you know, are you concerned, basically, yeah. Giants fans? The response is, and a lot of them, there were a lot of anger, but a lot of them were, I feel like I've watched the same team for 16 straight years. Even though they won championships, it was always a grind offensively. I would just say when they did win championships, the situational hitting was significantly more clutch than what it is now.
And the fundamentals, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right now, the team cannot buy a hit. Like, they can't get three hits in a row to save their life. No. And it feels like every team they're going up against, all it takes is, hey, we got a couple hits, and we knocked some guys in. And then, boom, game over. Feels insurmountable. Now, what he said about the Diamondbacks, I think, is my big takeaway. We got to get to their bullpen. Their bullpen is awful. He basically said they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. So, you know what's going to happen?
What?
These starters are all going to go seven innings deep.
I was going to say, it's like Zach Gallen, he has a 6 ERA. Well, he's going to go six innings, shut out baseball in the desert.
Hugh Kruko telling me at 10 o'clock in the evening, you just got to tip your cap. You know, Zach Gallen going eight strong today.
Well, that's... I do throw out the records when it comes to certain stuff. Like, ownage on a team is ownage on a team. And let me pull that up right now when it comes to... I know Zach Gallen's not pitching tonight. He's pitching tomorrow.
It's one of the harder places to pitch. Gallen because of the batter's eye, which is the... Like, the when I'm standing in the batter's box and I look at the pitcher, what's behind you, right?
Yeah.
And they say that the batter's eye, because it's this big, flat, green, you know, wall, basically, in center field. Have you ever been to Chase Center? Chase Field?
I've been to Chase Center. I've not been to Chase Field. I want to go to that pool, though. It looks very fun.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. You got to get special tickets to go to the pool. But I went there for a couple of games, and I like that stadium. I actually think it's a lot of fun. It's a huge warehouse, but it's a cool stadium. And it definitely is a lot cooler than the heat that's outside.
Right.
But
it's a dry heat.
That wall behind the pitcher is one of the best backdrops to hit on in all of baseball. It's... inarguable.
So in his career, Zach Gallen has a 6-5 record against the Giants with an ERA of 3.94. So not crazy. He's had some stinkers against them. 101 strikeouts, again, 16 appearances versus the Giants in his career.
The bats need to wake up, man. This is the ballpark. If Adames doesn't hit here, now I've got big problems.
No, if they don't hit this week is what I'm saying. So it's Arizona in a AAA stadium in Sacramento. It's going to be like 100 degrees there.
What is the weather going to be up there?
It's going to be toasty
in Sacramento.
Because
I got 85 in the river all week, and so I'm thinking...
It was 90 in Pleasanton yesterday.
It's got to be high. Let's look up Sacramento. Are you doing it or am I doing it?
I got it right here. Okay, Sacramento. All right. Friday 84, Saturday 89, Sunday 89. It's going to be hot.
Well,
we actually got
lucky because I mean, you're used to like 110.
Well, right. It's supposed to be 94 today. So there you go. It just tells you.
Wow. So we got kind of lucky.
Like Luis Severino, I don't know if he's scheduled to pitch. He's been a stinker there. He was their big signing there this week. And again, we're looking ahead. Just this week in general, I think at minimum, it's seven games. You need to go 5-2. You need to go 5-2 at minimum this week.
Sam, are you doing a Saturday show?
I am doing a Saturday show.
Let me book on air for you. Hi, I'm Chris Townsend.
Townie?
I'm Chris Townsend, live from Sutter Health Park.
Hey, I'm not mad at Townie.
Yeah, I ran a Townie and A's game a couple years ago, and he had some interesting stuff to say about you.
Oh, that's BS. Townie loves me.
He does, actually. No, he said afterwards, I'm only kidding, I love the Butcher Boy, but I can't say what he actually said to me because it's not radio appropriate.
My first ever show was me running the board with Lucas Alexander, Fight On, director of sports, 95% of the game, you and Townie. It was a good show. It was very fun.
There was a
picture. I cut off someone, Telmo, our guy
Telmo.
Yeah, Telmo.
He was very angry.
You cut off my guy Telmo?
There was a picture floating around the internet of Townie with a shovel and a hard hat on in Vegas. Rocking all the green and gold.
Very disappointing.
That's going to be very interesting, that series, because as it's approaching, obviously, we're not going to be able to, we'll react to it next Monday, of course, but I think it's going to be taken over from Giants fans. I think A's fans, if there are any A's fans going to those games, I'd love to hear from you why you're going to those games, first of all. Just the team is awful there. It's a million degrees. They don't win there.
Something to do.
I guess. I'd rather go to, like, you know, San Jose at the single A stadium and watch the Giants.
But what if you live in,
Rockland, for example.
So hot. God, it's unbearable there, though, right? There's something to be said about just the convenience.
My sister lives in Roseville. It's really hot.
It's that's what I'm saying.
Really hot.
Like, but would you want to go to these games this weekend, Joe, is what I'm asking. Like,
know,
in 90-degree heat at night.
I don't live there. I don't know.
You don't know. I'm just asking you if you like to go to baseball games when it's 90 degrees out.
I mean,
no, as a fan,
look,
I have to be in the shade if that's the case.
Really?
I have to be.
But
yes.
If it's 7 o'clock at night, it's different.
Like, I'm not taking my kids to that. Like, I'm sorry.
Well,
like,
I'm not taking my kids to night games anyway.
Okay.
Until he gets a little older.
But sure. Like, if I'm taking young Benjamin, he's going to be 6. Like, I'm not going to do it at a day game.